We're still listening to the voices of false assurance. The voices that everything's fine, there's nothing wrong at all, peace and safety. But when God was saying, no, there's no peace for the wicked, you need to repent. He says, all souls are mine. The soul that sins will die, therefore repent. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? No, that they would repent and live.
Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Greg, today's message gives us a lot of review of the past several broadcasts.
Yes, it does, Dave, but we need that review to understand what we're going to see at the end of our message today, which is so important. Okay, what am I talking about? Let's turn together in our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 11.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Well, we've been studying the book of Ezekiel, and this is quite a complex book with quite a simple message, as we've seen, that when God's people reject God, there's a time when his patience will wear out. And it is a lesson for us not to reject him, but it also is an encouragement that he is a God who saves. Now, in this book, we've seen that as Israel had made a covenant with the Lord, and in that covenant, they agreed to obey. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, as they're entering the land after being in the wilderness, Deuteronomos, the law was given for the second time. It was repeated. And within that, in chapter 28, the Lord clearly made it visible that if they disobeyed, that he would expel them from the land. If they obeyed, they would be blessed. If they disobeyed, they'd be cursed. And throughout Israel's history, they continued in their disobedience. Just read it over and over again. And God continued to send prophets to them that they would repent and that they would walk rightly before the Lord. Now we know in 722 BC, the northern kingdom was taken into captivity. And then in 605 BC, Daniel and his friends were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. Then in 597, Ezekiel and 10,000 were taken into captivity. And then in 586 BC, Jerusalem was brutally sieged for 18 months by Babylon, by Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end, the temple was destroyed, the walls were torn down, those in the city were slain, and those who escaped were taken ultimately to captivity. Now, Ezekiel is centered around this third and final siege of Jerusalem. The first 24 chapters are prophecies leading up to that siege, this 18-month siege. 24 through 32 are prophecies during that 18-month siege. And from 32 to 48 are prophecies after that siege. Now, Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people in Babylon, but Jeremiah is prophesying at the same time to those in Jerusalem. And so with this in mind, Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people concerning the sins of those who are about to be judged by God in an awful siege in which many would be killed and the rest would be brutally taken captive. And yet those remaining in Judea, those in Jerusalem, were still listening to the voices of false assurance. The voices that everything's fine, there's nothing wrong at all, peace and safety. But when God was saying, no, there's no peace for the wicked, you need to repent. He says, all souls are mine. The soul that sins will die, therefore repent. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? No, that they would repent and live. And so we've seen in this book so far, chapter 1, Ezekiel's commission, when he saw that great vision of God, when he saw God on the throne above the cherubim in this storm coming from the north, really representing the Chaldeans who would come from the north, God behind that allowing it to happen. And we saw that God is on the throne above it all. Then we saw the Lord commission Ezekiel. We saw then the sign sermons and the siege signs that Ezekiel was to do to visibly show those exiles what God would be doing in terms of sieging Jerusalem. And then we saw after that the reason for God's wrath. We saw that Israel had idolatrous hearts, that they had gone after idols. They would name the name of the Lord, but they were idolaters. And that God, being just and right, must bring about his judgment, and he would bring an end to the inhabitants of the land. And then a couple weeks ago, we came to chapter 8 and 9 when we saw the journey that no one wants to take, where Ezekiel was caught up in another vision. And that's within this portion that we're in right now, chapters 8 through 11. There's four chapters. And then we saw in that first portion the vision from an earthly viewpoint, where the Lord took Ezekiel to the temple and he showed him the abominations going on in the temple right in Jerusalem. These wicked things, the idolatry, the idol in the temple, and the elders in the temple doing those wicked things behind closed doors. And within that, we saw that God would bring his judgment. And then we came to chapter 10 last week, where we began to see the same judgment from a heavenly perspective, that God would bring forth his undeviating judgment at the execution of his command. We saw the cherubim and those who would perform his will in perfect, harmonious action and bring about what God had declared. And we saw that God's glory departed the temple of Israel. It departed, it left. That God was leaving, his visible presence was leaving them as he was going to bring judgment upon those who had turned to idolatry, had turned away from him. So with that in mind, we're going to see the second half of this portion, the last part of the vision. So turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 11. And Ezekiel, it's a complex book, but the message is pretty simple. The message is pretty straightforward, but it is a complex book. But I believe the Lord can enable us by his Spirit to understand and then respond the way he desires. So notice, first of all, there's the wicked rulers of Jerusalem are going to be judged. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house, which faced eastward. And behold, there were 25 men at the entrance of the gate. Among them I saw Jaazaniah, the son of Azor, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaniah, leaders of the people. And he said to me, Son of man, these are men who devise iniquity and give evil advice in this city, who say, Is not the time near to build houses? The city is the pot, and we are the flesh. Now, you might remember, I mentioned briefly a minute ago, that this section is a part of a four-part section of the second vision in Ezekiel. And it has been 14 months since Ezekiel's been commissioned. And he is very close to the end of that sign where he's supposed to line his left and right. We saw that earlier. And we have Ezekiel in chapter 8 sitting with the elders of Israel in front of him. These are the exiled elders. These were the religious leaders of the Jews in exile. And at this point, the hand of the Lord came upon him, chapter 8, and he was caught up into this second vision, which we'll see the end of today. And he was taken powerfully by the Spirit of God to Jerusalem, to the temple. And he was taken on that tour that no one wants to take. He was shown the idolatrous abominations happening in the temple. And then in chapter 9, that a holy and just God must bring his judgment upon the idolaters, and everyone who did not have a mark on their heads. Remember, there was the one with the writing case, and that's very prophetic. It's hard to understand, but the one with the writing case who was to mark everyone who groaned and mourned over their sin, to mark it with that tile, that letter T. You know, it looks like a cross, by the way. And they were to mark it, and they were to be passed over and not killed when God's judgment came. And then we saw last week in chapter 10, this same judgment from a heavenly viewpoint, where we saw the cherubim and then the expanse and the one on the throne above that. This is a heavenly viewpoint, which we can't fathom, but God is showing us. And we saw the man clothed in linen with the same scene we saw back in chapter 1 with the wheels and the cherubim and this whirling wheels and these cherubim who move in perfect harmony with the wheels going with them. And when they leave the earth, they go up. And when they come back down and all that. And we saw that the Lord was on the throne above them. And he was departing, so were they departing. The glory of the Lord left the temple. And we saw the man clothed in linen who received the fire from amidst the cherubim, which he was to thus sprinkle it over the city, symbolizing judgment. We saw that, this heavenly scene of the glory of the Lord and the God of Israel bringing judgment to the undeviating obedience of those cherubim. And now at this point, we come to our passage where it kind of turns back to an earthly scene for Ezekiel. 11 chapter 1. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house, which faced eastward. That's the east gate of the temple. So the Spirit brings him there into the context of this vision. And notice he says, end of verse 1, and behold, there were 25 men at the entrance of the gate, and among them I saw Jaazaniah, son of Azor, and Pelatiah, son of Benaniah, leaders of the people. So he's at the entrance of the temple, that's the gate of the temple. And as normally you would have the leaders of Israel would be near the gates, they would be there near the entrances, and they would be there, and they would give advice to the people. They would give spiritual advice, leading the people. They would be there. And so he sees these 25 men, and he sees these guys, two of them who are named. It's interesting. He seems to know them, by the way. Ezekiel knows who they are. He says, this is who I saw. I saw this guy and this guy. And we have, first of all, Jaazaniah, son of Azar. Quite possibly, this is the brother of Hananiah, son of Azar, which we see in Jeremiah 28. If you read through that, as we'll see in a moment, he's a contemporary to Ezekiel, but he's a bad guy. He's a false prophet. And so evidently this is his brother giving bad advice also. Okay? He's among those 25. And then we see this dude Pelatiah, son of Benaniah. Keep him in mind. We'll see him later. Okay? So those are two names out of those 25. And notice what he said about them. Verse 2, and he said to me, son of man, these are men who devise iniquity and give evil advice in this city. Wow, okay. God gives a straight scoop. There's no varnish on that. He gives a straight scoop. And we see here, who say, is not the time near to build houses? And we'll talk about that phrase. There's a lot of different translations. The city is the pot and we are the flesh. So what we know is out of those 25 guys who give advice, there's two that are named, and these 25, God says, are not these the men who devise iniquity? Now, they're the spiritual guys. Think, oh, they don't devise iniquity. Well, yes, they do. I bet you there's a lot of iniquity being devised this morning in many churches. There are people who are claiming to follow the Lord, but yet are doing evil, okay? Now, here, these guys devised iniquity, and they give evil advice in this city. Now, remember, Ezekiel was taken to Jerusalem in this vision. So he is in the city of Jerusalem at the temple. Now, what's their evil advice? Well, the Lord gives us a little bit of understanding here. Verse 3, who say, is not the time near to build houses? Now, this is a difficult phrase because the term the time, you'll see in italics, it's been implied there in the translations. You're translating from the original, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And you could put it two different ways. You could say, the time is not here to build houses, or it's a question, is not the time to build houses? Isn't it the time? Now, I think that's what we're going to see in context, that it's not, as some translations, I think, have misunderstood it because of this phrase, the city is the pot and we are the flesh. Now, that's a phrase that we don't understand totally. It sounds like, hey, we're in the cooking pot getting cooked up. And so that's why they translate it, hey, it's not the time because we're going to get fried. Well, that's not what it means. Later on, we're going to see they're saying in pride, we're protected by this pot and it's the time to build houses. When God is saying, no, it's not. It is time to repent because my judgment's coming. We're going to see that. The context will show us that, I believe. We have literally here in Hebrew, you could translate it a question. Is it not near to build houses? Isn't it time to settle down? Things are going to be fine. It's all going to be good. It's all going to be good. The city is the pot. And I believe this is an idiom. City's pot. It's protecting us. Remember, they were sieged for 18 months. The city was protecting them. Hey, we're going to be fine. We're not going to be taken captive by the Chaldeans. The city's the pot. We are the flesh. And along with that, I believe we're going to see later on that within this, they're saying we're the choice pieces of meat. And the scraps are those out there that got taken captive. There's a lot of pride. We'll see this later on, so just hold on to that thought. So they are denying these evil men. We know God says very clearly, they devise evil and give evil advice, right? Devise iniquity, give evil advice. The evil advice is, hey, it's getting close to time to settle down. Things are going to be great. Things are good. Things are great. You know, and we're protected. That's their evil advice. Indeed, if you go to Jeremiah 28, and we're going to look at this Hananiah, the son of Azar, and what he says, because he's one of these false guys. This is the brother of the guy. We're going to look at this. Jeremiah 28, This is a long passage. I'm just going to walk us through it, okay? And it's a narrative, so we should be able to understand it just walking through it. Jeremiah 28. Now, it came about in the same year at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year in the fifth month. This is real close to the same timing where we're at, okay? We're not exactly sure, but it's close, okay? Hanani, the son of Azur, that's the brother, this one guy that was out in front, the evil man, right? The prophet who was from Gibeon spoke to me in the house of the Lord. This is to Jeremiah. Remember, Jeremiah's preaching to the Jews in Jerusalem. Ezekiel to the Jews that are actually in captivity, okay? Spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of all the priests and all the people, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I'm going to bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar the king took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I'm also going to bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. This is a false prophecy, by the way. We're going to see that in a minute. This guy's claiming to be from the Lord, saying, hey, you know what? This guy, Nebuchadnezzar, he is attacking us, but hey, you're going to get all the vessels back for the temple that he took, and he's going to break his yoke. The Lord's going to take care of him. But that's not God's message. God's message is, I am coming and bringing judgment through these evil nations because of your sin. And so the evil men were giving evil advice, saying, hey, everything's going to be good. God's not mad at you. God's not upset about your sin. Look a little farther, Jeremiah 28:5. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah in the presence of the priests, in the presence of all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. Probably included those 25, I bet. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord confirm your words that you've prophesied to bring back the vessels of the house and all the exiles from Babylon to this place. Now, Jeremiah is not saying, hey, I agree with this, but he's saying, amen, in God's timing, we'll make this happen. Okay? You're going to see that he's not saying the false prophet is correct, but he's saying basically, may what you say happen at the right time. And notice he continues, yet now hear the word which I'm to speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who were before me and before you from ancient times prophesied against many lands, against great kingdoms of war and calamity and pestilence. The prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, and the prophet will be known as one who the Lord has truly sent. He's saying, hey, you know, if the peace you say comes to pass and you're from God, but he's going to say, that ain't going to happen. Notice he's going to continue. And Hananiah gets it, okay? This prophet gets it that Ezekiel is being facetious with him, that, hey, you're a bad guy. Then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke from the back of Jeremiah and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break within 2 years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations. Then the prophet Jeremiah went his way. He had enough, okay? And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken a yoke from off prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and speak to Hananiah. Thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made instead of them yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord God of hosts, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and they may shall serve him. And I have also given him the beast of the field. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah, listen now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. You know, you hear those guys on TV, and I've seen it on the internet lately, these prophet guys, they're saying, they're using events like the shooting of Trump and things to come out with prophecies that they say hey, they are going to happen. Same thing, they're prophesying lies, because we have the completed word of God. He says, the Lord has not sent you, you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm about to remove you from the face of the earth. Hey, that's not good when God says, I'm going to remove you from the face of the earth. This year you're going to die because you've counseled rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died in the same year in the seventh month. He took him out because he was prophesying lies that Nebuchadnezzar would be defeated and all that supposedly God is saying is not going to happen. Peace and safety. You see, that's the evil advice they were giving. Hey, it's about time to build your houses, isn't it? Things are going to be peaceful. Hey, the city is like a pot, an iron pot around us. We are protected. We're this choice meat inside, okay? So these evil men devise iniquity, give evil advice. And you say, how does that apply to us today? Well, are you sympathetic with those who lessen or twist the Word of God? Who do the same? It's a serious issue. Let me give you a modern day illustration. You have every week mainline denominations that say God is a God of love, a God of peace. You can stay in your sin. You can do whatever you want and God loves you. Okay? Well, God does love, but that love is demonstrated not that you can stay in your sin, but that he sent his son who died for our sins. And if you turn to him, he'll save you. And so they give the same evil advice. Peace and safety. Continue the way you are going because you're fine. But no, God says it is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. And this is coming into the evangelical church. There are so many going the way of the dead denominations. They share a gospel that is void of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A gospel for your felt needs. I was taught, Sam, you can go to a million churches right and visit. They're going to cater to you. They're going to make you feel good with what they have to keep you in there rather than just to faithfully proclaim the Word of God. They give you a gospel that feeds your flesh, and then you have a disingenuous conversion. You think you're saved when you're not. It wins the flesh of non-believers who stay non-believers. But God says the soul that sins will die, and he takes no pleasure in the death of those who die, but rather they would repent and live. So back to our passage. They're saying, hey, it's about time. Some of your versions are a little backwards, I think, just the way it's translated. But I think in context, we'll see very clearly it's saying, is it not the time now? Is it not the time to start building? You know, we're protected. We're going to make it through. Well, they don't, as we'll see. Verse 4, back in chapter 11, Ezekiel. Therefore, this is the Lord saying to Ezekiel, prophesy against them, son of man, prophesy. Hey, this is speak forth the word of God. That's what prophecy is, speaking forth the word of God. It can be forthtelling or foretelling. We see that in the Old Testament, but now we have the completed word of God. And so notice we see his prophecy. What happens here? Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, Ezekiel says, and he said to me, thus says the Lord. Now, what's interesting, on a side note, we get a good vision into how God brings forth the word of God, don't we? It is through the Spirit of God that the Word of God comes forth. He says, thus says the Lord. Say, thus says the Lord. We know in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture, that's prophecy of written word, is a matter of one's own interpretation. 2 Peter 1:20. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The Spirit of God brought it forth. I'll share another passage, John 16. Jesus says in John 16, 13 concerning the Spirit, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and disclose it to you. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and brings it forth to the people of God. And as we'll see, we need the Spirit of God to understand the Word of God. So then, back in our passage in Ezekiel chapter 11.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, give me some ways to begin to apply this message to my life today.
Well, Dave, the primary application is that we need to be on the alert for those false teachers and false brethren who say in essence peace and safety to those who don't know Christ, who say in essence that you're okay with God when you're not. We see it in the mainline denominations, and we see it in a lot of evangelical denominations, those who downplay sin and thus downplay the cross of Christ. Well, we're out of time, so make plans to join us on Monday for the next edition of Equipping the Saints, in which we continue our study in the book of Ezekiel.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.